then not going to talk about image-based or anything, but I'm going to talk about containers. Remote attestation and PDMs and security. And remote attestation is the act of making sure that what you run on some device is the code that you expect, checking it from another device that you trust. So everybody in this room, I guess, should be familiar with what chain looks like when you pull up your computer. Then you check the truth, UDFI, we call them chain, so execute the decoder, we call it the kernel, and has more steps.
Oh yes, I was on mute. Sorry. So again, maybe for the remote audience, when you got a boot chain, you power up your computer, you have UEFI, goes to bootloader, goes to the kernel, goes to initramfs, and then because we are talking about a lot today, security things, you want to crypt your disk partition and so enter a passphrase to unlock it. Then if you want to make sure that what you've loaded is what you expect, you can store measurements, so signatures, hashes of every step inside the TPM. A TPM is a passive component. It is just there to store information, perform some cryptographic computation on it if you ask it, but it doesn't block anything in the boot chain, right? It's just there to store and execute commands that you pass to it. And so later on, after the boot is done, you can go back, for instance, in init in your kernel to read back what you had in the TPM and check that what you have is what you expect. The problem is, if there is an issue, if it's not what you expect, you end up here, you enter your passphrase, but your system was already compromised, and so the passphrase that you've just entered maybe got exfiltrated, and now your disk is compromised as well. That's typically the case when you have offline attacks on a laptop you may have forgotten or left unattended in a FOSDEM conference room. So what we can do and what people in large organizations typically do is use remote attestation. So you have an app started, for instance, in the initramfs, which will talk to the TPM, get the measurements, and then ask a remote attestation server somewhere trusted to check that the measurements are what's expected. And that's where what you got in the previous talk, that you want to have images that are reproducible, that are signed, comes very key, because a remote attestation server would typically be your organization server. It knows about the signatures, so it can check that the image is the one that it signed, that it is the one that is blessed by your security team. And then if everything is fine, typically the remote attestation server would hand back a secret to your dedicated attestation client, and the client could use that secret to decrypt your disk. And in that case, you don't even need to enter a passphrase anymore. I mean, you could also add a passphrase if you want to be more sure. But if you had some kind of control on the attestation server, then you may not even need the passphrase. The issue is that everybody in this room, maybe some of you work at big companies, but not everybody, obviously. And so how do you set up this server? Do you need to rent something in the cloud? It's super inconvenient. As a matter of fact, all of you, I think, have a server in their pocket. It's called a mobile phone. And so you just need to run the remote attestation server. Okay, that's the security part, because I work for a government agency. And so you have the server run on your phone, And then you can communicate with your laptop over Bluetooth. And that's what we implemented. A user-friendly, lightweight TPM remote attestation running over Bluetooth with a server, well, client, it depends, we will change names, but one of them running on your phone and the other on your laptop. It's an idea that was prototyped by Matthew Garrett a couple of years ago at LinuxCon Australia. But it was just a rough prototype, and basically we're trying to make it production grade, at least hacker grade. So we have the server running on the laptop. Okay, now I'm switching names between client and server because we can't decide. So on your laptop, you have the server. It's written in Go. It talks to BlueS, your Bluetooth stack. And then we have clients for Android and iOS. Written, well, for the TPM part in Go, and then for the UI in Kotlin or Swift. So the way it works is when you start the server on the laptop, it shows a QR code with a key so that we can encrypt the communication between the laptop and the phone and pair them in a secure way. You scan the QR code on your phone. It gives you the key. And then on first use, you have a trust on first use step where you need to kind of trust the measurements the very first time. We do not support right now like downloading trusted measurement from an external server the way you would do if you are in a large organization. Remember, this is for individual users, but we could extend it to support that use case if needed. And then on every time you want to test that things haven't changed, then you just run the server here again on the laptop. You don't need to scan a QR code anymore. You just start the attestation on the client. It pairs over Bluetooth automatically using a key that it remembered. It exchanges cryptographically the results of the measurements. Thanks to the TPM remote attestation protocol, it can check that it is the same physical machine, or at least the same physical TPM. So if you left your laptop and attending in a first demo room, unless like the attacker poked it open, swapped TPM, stuff like that, it doesn't happen. Okay, so it can really make sure it is the same hardware it is talking to, or at least the same TPM, and then it checks that the measurements of the boot chain haven't changed since last time. And it can send back a secret optionally to the laptop if you want to use it for disk encryption. Of course, it doesn't send a secret back if things have failed. So we have a demo, and because we know how demo works, it's a recorded video. I mean, I can also try the demo for real afterwards, but so this is running in a virtual machine created with Meikozy that was mentioned in previous talks. So here, I'll first show the enrollment. So the virtual machine is booting for the first time. So on the left, you have the virtual machine. On the right, you have the phone. In that case, the iOS client, because it is much more beautiful, because my intern spent a lot more time working on it. But I don't have Xcode, so the client I reviewed is the Android one, and so the one you get on GitHub has fewer features. I'm sorry, but eventually we'll merge everything back. So here, the first time we boot, we need to enter a passphrase because we haven't enrolled yet. So, and then, okay, sorry, it's the bottom of the screen, but we run the UltraBoot server to perform the initial trust and first use enrollment, now that we are fully booted to a Linux system. So here you have to trust your system, right? It's the first time you boot if it's already compromised your host. It's going to display the QR code that we are going to scan with the phone. And then it starts at station, showing the steps on both sides, get the measurements, and now we have the device registered on the right. So we can change its name. We know when we created it, when we last ran an attestation. And as you'll see, you can edit the security policy. So the way it works when you boot is you choose what kind of measurements you want to check. Again, this is only in the iOS application, but coming soon on Android. Then the next step is to run systemd crypt enroll so that, because when we enroll the phone, we send back a secret to the laptop, which was stored in the TPM in a special register, register 9, PCR9. And so here we run systemd crypt enroll so that we add another factor, another slot to unlock the disk based not on the passphrase, but on the content on TPM register 9. So here basically, yeah, that's what we did. And now we regenerate the initramfs using Dracut modules. We would like to get rid of them because they're very buggy, but maybe see previous talk one day we can, so that we can enable UltraBlue and startup. And here we start again, but now startup stops at some point, starting the UltraBlue server. And we go on the phone and just press this button, the play button, starting an attestation, fetching the measurements. It works. So we send back the secret, and we don't need to enter a passphrase anymore because we send back the secret, so it unlocked the disk based on the secret. Now, what happens if something has changed in the boot? So again, we start an attestation. Yada, yada. And here we do not send back the secret. We say, oh, something is different this time. It's in PCR8, right? It has changed. And PCR8, we provide some info to the user, is expected to contain the hash of the kernel command line. Then you can even look at the diff. And if you look at the diff, you can see that you have a new command line option, super evil opt, that has been added, right? So this data, you cannot really trust it, but you can trust that this data, its digest, is the same as the one stored in the TPM. And then you can choose what you want to do. You can say, okay, this is a legitimate update. For instance, I updated my firmware. It's an expected change, so I save the new one. You can say, okay, trust, but only once, as you would do in a browser. Or you can say, oh no, this is definitely an attack. I want to reject it. Maybe call some security team. We haven't implemented that yet. But do not send back the secrets in any case. That's what we do here. We reject it. And so it falls back to asking you a passphrase to unlock your disk. And that's about it for today. So it's versatile. You can embed it in initramfs. You can use it as a second factor. We provide in the release sample makers script to build the VM that I just demonstrated. We also just today published a release just for you, first dem attendees, so that you do not need to rebuild everything. You can just test. Then if you're interested about the protocol, you have 5 minutes of questions. But trust us, we ask the security team, the cryptography team in our lab to review it. It's fairly standard. It's fairly standard remote attestation protocol. And we want to integrate more. That's why we are here today to talk to you. So go on ncfr/ultrablue, /release if you want some binaries for Android and x86 Linux. I'm here for questions. So.
I'll start with a question. How practical would it be to run this on your laptop?
Well, I'm not, like, I just basically mentored Loic, but I co-mentored Loic with Nicolas Bouchinet, who should be in this room somewhere hiding. Yes, here. And Nicolas mentioned just yesterday that he's now quite ready to use it on his laptop. So I guess ask him. I don't even have Secure Boot enabled on this laptop.
So I guess the French NSA doesn't allow you to use that.
So it's like, this is the the public. So it's endorsed by our agency. It's been endorsed in the sense that it's okay to release the code publicly. We have reviewed it as carefully as we can. We do not consider it production grade right now.
Hi. Have you thought about using it to assess the IMA log at runtime as well? So for files that are accessed against some network accessible database, not only for boot, but also for checks at runtime?
So I think for checks at... So there are two things here. For checks at runtime of your file system, I think you want to use more like the DM Verity and other mechanisms that we have. But the TPM doesn't only have uses at boot time. So the fact that you run remote attestation, this could be done later. The advantage to make it early is that you can detect if you're compromised before inputting your password, basically. Yes, I see some questions here in the back.
Let's say that nobody swaps your TPM. Put that case aside. Could you get the same level of attestation just with signatures with the TPM? Like, let's say you don't think that somebody was going to swap your TPM. So could you just like check some all the parts of the boot chain and just like sign the hashes and just at boot verify the signature with TPM?
The problem is, how do you trust what you see on the screen of your laptop?
Okay.
The idea is that the phone remains in your pocket. So the phone is trusted, or it's more trusted to have two devices than one, because it's harder to compromise two devices. So if something in your bootloader is compromised, it could show you on your computer that, okay, the TPM measures check out, etc. And this is even more true for something that's called dynamic root of trust measurements. So not only trusting your BIOS to make the measurements, but like some special instructions in CPUs allow you to restart the root of trust later in the boot process. But for this to work, the check has to be external.
You said it's not production ready. Do you see it being production ready anytime soon? Is that the goal?
It's not a stated goal of the agency. I'd be very happy for it to be used more widely. But I think for this to happen, we need people outside of the agency interested.
Looks great. I have a question regarding the app on the mobile phone. So how does the app know that it's speaking to a trusted server, or the server that it can trust? So does it exchange keys with the server on first use, or how does it work?
So there is a trust on first use. So there are two levels of security. First, Bluetooth communication is encrypted, and the key for that communication is embedded in the QR code that you scan first. And then the identity of the TPM. The TPM has a secret key inside and uses it so the public key is stored in the app on the mobile phone. And so the app can check that it talks to the expected TPM. So basically, the encryption key is used to attest that it's the same operating system or initramfs, and the TPM key is used to check that it's the same TPM.
But that still, as far as I understand, does not prevent a malicious server to send the app the wrong values, or to just imagine the values and send them.
Because the app doesn't have direct access to the TPM, right? There is something that we haven't implemented right now, because we wanted it to be easy to test with virtual machines and software TPMs. But one thing is that the TPMs certificates, basically you have a list, the TPM keys are signed by vendor, And so you have a list of the keys of the vendors that are used to sign the certificates. So when you get the quote from the TPM, you can check that it's a hardware TPM by some well-known manufacturers and not some emulated TPM. So you can be sure that you're actually talking to a physical TPM device. And so the server cannot mess with that. But you're right, we haven't implemented this right now, otherwise the demo on purpose, so to say, because otherwise the demo wouldn't work. That's an option I want to add.
Very good question. This is using Bluetooth. Bluetooth specification is very complicated. Yes. How much does it rely on Bluetooth working fine or as expected?
It's using Bluetooth low energy. It's relying on the Go Bluetooth library to work fine. So we don't use any of the Bluetooth stack encryption. For the encryption part, we roll out our stuff. And we layered the code so that it's mostly agnostic to the underlying transport. So if you want it to run over infrared, it should be relatively easy to port. I just don't know how to code that. And we are extremely conservative in that we just abort as soon as we receive packets out of orders or unexpected packets.
Okay, last question from online. Someone asked if any distribution expressed any interest in making it in the Ultra Blue.
Yes, in fact, but like not officially. Some Twitter messages, we presented this at Open Source VMware Conference last September as well. And after that, there was some interest online and people saying that for Fedora, they may be interested. But it was not official Fedora position. It was like some Fedora contributors.
I can say that XOS is interested into that. But not official.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Applause for the speaker. And we have one request.